Homily for 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I love to read the Bible. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It is infallible. It is inerrant. But every time I read the Bible, which is every day, I'm not only inspired by the words of God, but I'm also typically convicted by the words of God. The Bible, day in and day out, reveals to me things about myself that are not in line with the word of God. Areas of my life where the Holy Spirit is inviting me to grow, is inviting me to mature, is inviting me to be purified. Because I read the word of God and I listen to what Jesus says, or St. Paul says, or St. Peter says, and I am convicted because I know that is just not where I'm at. I'm not there right now. I need to grow. Reading the Bible for me is like waking up in the morning and going to the bathroom. I look in the mirror in the morning and I look in the mirror and I see my hair's all over the place. I have that yellow crust stuff in my eyes. Like, I just don't look the same as you typically would see me on Sunday at Mass. The mirror shows me things about myself that if I did not look in the mirror, I would not know. And that's what reading the Bible is like. The Bible shows us things about ourselves that if we don't read the Bible, we're just not going to know. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be transformed. We're not going to be changed if we don't read the Bible, if we don't take time to look into the Word of God. So, how has the Word of God inspired me and convicted me this week? Well, this week, I was spending some time with this upcoming Sunday's readings. And at Mass today, the second reading is coming from St. Paul and his letter to Timothy. And in his letter to Timothy, he tells Timothy this. He says that we ought to pray for all people. And that sounds simple, and we probably know that as Catholics, but as I read those words, I was particularly convicted because, look, I pray every day. I pray for this church. I love Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is my dream church. I've always wanted to be here. Now I'm here. I'm happy to be here. I pray for the church every day. I pray for the school. I love the school. I love our faculty. I love our staff. I love our teachers. I love our students. I love our nuns. I love everything about Sacred Heart of Jesus School. I pray for vocations every day. I want more healthy and holy and mature seminarians for the Diocese of Baton Rouge so we can have men who serve our land as priests and are as deacons. We can have more women religious who serve in our schools throughout our land who pray for us. I want more healthy and holy vocations to marriage and consecrated virginity and priesthood and religion. I pray for this stuff every day, every single day. And I pray for my family and my friends every single day at every single Mass. I'm constantly praying for my family and my friends. I pray for those who I love. But there are a number of people who I realize I don't typically take time to intentionally pray for. There are people who, believe it or not, I just don't like. There are some priests who, like Catholic priests, who preach sermons, homilies that I think are dangerous for the body of Christ. There are some preachers who are teaching ideas to their congregations that are not biblical. This is frustrating for me. There are some politicians who I did not vote for who are pushing policies that I think are anti-Catholic. There are social media bloggers and podcast hosts and YouTube shows that I do not listen to or watch because I think that their messages that they promote are problematic. And as I read this passage from Scripture, as I read this passage from the Bible, I could just perceive in my heart Jesus asking me, Josh, when is the last time you prayed for all people and not just some people, not just the people that you like, not just the people who think like you or act like you or worship like you or vote like you? But when is the last time you prayed for all people, including the people you struggle the most with, including the people you disagree with fundamentally, including the people who have offended you? St. Paul's exhortation to Timothy in the second reading today was for him to offer universal intercession for all peoples. The context is Paul is instructing Timothy and telling him, you cannot be selective in who you pray for. You have to pray for everyone. So I'm urging you that supplications and prayers and intercessions be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in high positions. Praying for all people. This includes our politicians who have lied to us. Praying for all people. This includes our church hierarchy who have let us down. Praying for all people. This includes our coworkers who have betrayed us. Praying for all people. This includes our family members who have offended us. This is not optional. Praying for all people is not a suggestion. It's a mandate. So how can we pray for all people, including our enemies, and not just for some people who we like? We can all pray the prayer that was taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ in the sacred scriptures, in the Word of God, in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. But again, whenever we pray rote prayers like Our Fathers and Hail Marys and Glory Bees and St. Michael the Archangel prayers, whenever we pray these rote prayers that I think we should pray and I think are good for us to pray, we can easily fall into this trap of praying these prayers in vain, just saying a bunch of words that don't really mean anything to us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hail Mary, full of grace. Like, we say them so fast, are we even meaning what we are saying when we are praying? We need to know who we're talking to and what we're talking about whenever we pray. Otherwise, our prayer is not authentic. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, I invite us to pray it so slowly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Your will be done. Not my will be done. Not my neighbor's will be done. But your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And here's the kicker. And forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins, the ways in which we have offended you, God, and stop and recognize the ways in which we have offended God right there. Forgive us our trespasses, including that time this week whenever I rolled my eyes at my spouse, including that time this week whenever I got frustrated in traffic and said a bad word, including that time this week whenever I made a comment about a coworker that I should not have made, that was not uplifting, that was not good. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Pause. Including, insert name of a coworker. Insert name of a neighbor. Insert the name of my teacher or of my classmate. Insert name of my brother or my sister or my mother or my father or my son or my daughter or my grandparents or my aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews, my cousin. Insert the name of my family member. Insert the name of the politician who has offended me, who has trespassed against me. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, including Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or George Bush. Like, be specific with the person, the politician, with the hierarchy, the person in the church who's offended you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, including Pope Francis or Pope Benedict XVI, including Father Josh or Father Tim, right? Put the name of the person who has offended us, who's trespassed against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Whenever we are specifically praying for the forgiveness, what we are not praying for is forgetting. This whole forgive and forget is not biblical. That does not come from the Bible. That's a secular notion. That's a secular idea. It is not helpful, because if you forget what people have done, then they're probably going to do it again. Our memory is a gift to us and to the world. History is important. We ought to remember the offenses of others. Forgiveness is not blessing their sins and not thinking that it's okay what they did to us. It's not being okay with the sins of others against us. Forgiveness is not ignoring our emotional pain and hurt and trauma because of the offenses of others against us. The Catechism of the Catholic Church makes it very clear. It is not in our power to not remember or to not feel the emotions that come with being wounded by other people. But it does say that what we are able to do is we are able to allow our emotions of anger, our frustration, our pain, our sorrow, our sadness, or whatever it is, our grief, it is able to draw us to pray for our enemies, to pray for the people who've hurt us. Forgiveness is praying for the salvation because God wants for all people to have an opportunity to be saved. God wants for all people to have an opportunity to fall in love with Jesus and to stay in love with Jesus and to abide in the love of Jesus Christ. Why is St. Paul reminding us to do this, to pray for all people, including our enemies? Because St. Paul benefited from the prayers of someone he once offended and hurt and persecuted. St. Stephen, the deacon in the early church, the first martyr in the early church, who was persecuted and killed at the hands of St. Paul as he was dying, he prayed, "Father, forgive him. Father, forgive him." He prayed for Paul to be forgiven, and God heard the prayers of St. Stephen, and God responded to the prayers of St. Stephen, and not only forgave Paul, but called Paul to become one of the greatest evangelists in the history of the church, who called Paul to write the majority of the New Testament in the Bible. And now Paul is known as St. Paul, and he and St. Stephen are together in heaven, worshiping God side by side. If God can do that with Paul through the prayers of Stephen, imagine what God can do with our enemies today because of our decision to pray for them to come to Him. God wants for all of us to abide in relationship with Him, not only during our pilgrimage on earth, but God wants for all of us to abide in relationship with Him in heaven. And we all have an opportunity to be a bridge for all people, and not just some people, but for all people to come to know and to love and to serve Jesus on earth as it is in heaven, when we choose to obey the word of God and pray for all people.